Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. While you were working, only on Money FM 89.3.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly with Shehzad Haque and finance presenter JP Ong. We've also got Melissa Haque with us in the studio today as well. Now, let's get you up to speed on some of the updates from while you were working. And of course, today we are going to be focusing once again on the situation in Ukraine. Over the weekend, we did see a number of updates, amongst them Russian President Vladimir Putin put Russia's nuclear deterrent on high alert. And that followed further sanctions by the West, didn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It has been very, very difficult times, hasn't it? And they are looking now to cut off a number of Russian banks from the system of international payments known as SWIFT. Following all that, back home here in Singapore, Foreign Minister Vivian Balakrishnan told Parliament that Singapore will impose export controls on items that can be used directly as weapons in Ukraine to inflict harm or to subjugate Ukrainians.
We also saw an update from Singapore Airlines as well. Singapore Airlines has indefinitely suspended all flights between Changi Airport and Moscow. JP, there you were just reporting on where SIA shares are today.
Indeed, yeah. SIA actually doing a little bit better, and maybe it's because they don't think it's going to be as vulnerable to the shutting down or the restriction of Russian or European airspace between those two particular regions. However, it does complicate once again how you're going to conduct some of these flights, especially with all these airlines just raring to try and restart some of these routes that have been shut down for so long because of the COVID-19 pandemic. This is just another headache on them. Oh, and by the way, jet fuel is also going up. So if they have to fly longer routes, that means that this could also result in perhaps even higher costs and maybe even higher airfares, dare I say.
Well, to help bring us up to speed and analyze the current situation, we're joined on the line now by Dr. Kai Daolu, who is a visiting senior fellow, Department of Strategy and Policy at NUS Business School. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Good afternoon, Rachel.
Good to have you with us. So let's start off with the situation in Ukraine. Perhaps we can actually rewind a little bit and talk about what's happening with Russia, because over the weekend we did see that President Vladimir Putin has put Russia's nuclear deterrent on high alert. What exactly does that mean?
I'm not a political or military expert, but I'm horrified by the images coming from Ukraine. But I can say something about what this signal means is basically what is sending a very strong signal to the U.S. and to the NATO that things can escalate if we don't measure the risk properly.
Right.
And I will see that the risk of escalating is pretty high right now, and this will raise the geopolitical tension in not only in the region but in the world. And this is really unprecedented in the post-Cold War era. So this would have severe ramification in the financial market, given the amount of uncertainty that we face right now.
Could we not interpret this as President Putin just playing brinksmanship and looking to deter any kind of incursion into Ukraine from other forces, just the threat of the nuclear, of using nuclear weapons, rather than anything else? Could it just be bluster from him?
I suspect not, and that would be an expensive bluff. And that is because Russia is clearly one of the nations that have important nuclear weapons. And so I think we have to be careful how we should read this signal, because I don't know how many of you know this. There's this old movie, Dr. Strangelove, and described the Cold War between Russia and the U.S. Mm. So there was a miscalculation of the risk, and then the doomsday machine went on. So I suspect that we have to really take this situation carefully. Any military intervention could escalate into a higher risk in the world, and it would have severe ramifications. I'm personally horrified by the images coming from Ukraine, so I would believe that the international community would take this quite carefully and see how we can help the region, and in particular the households and families that are severely affected by the war.
And that said, we've also seen the European Union step in. It's going to spend about 450 million euros on weapons and equipment for Ukraine. So what are the implications here economically when we're looking at those that are getting involved in what's taking place at the moment?
I think the economic cost is already pretty huge. Mm-hmm. And that is war. There's no winners in any war. Mm-hmm. So Ukraine will be severely affected. Russia will be severely affected. So my question is whether President Putin is taking into consideration the economic costs imposed on Russia and the families that are suffering right now in Ukraine. So I think it's still premature to assess the real impact of the damage caused by the current war in the region, but there's clearly no winner here.
We also saw further international sanctions over the weekend, didn't we? Amongst them, SWIFT. Why does this matter? How significant is this move?
This is probably a really meaningful sanction to Russia, and in particular because SWIFT is a platform that provides secure financial transactions for banks and financial institutions. So if we can think of it, it's a very easy way for countries and banks to make transactions. So what matters is that it facilitates trade and investment flow between countries. By limiting the transaction you can perform on this platform, it would impose a severe economic cost of businesses that are located in Russia. So I think the international community would hope that by imposing these sanctions, Russia would think again, you know, making further advances in the region. In terms of restricting the use of SWIFT system, this is a huge.
If it's so significant, then why was there such reluctance last week to impose those almost immediately when they first invaded Ukraine?
I don't really know what's going on. I'm not an insider, but I suspect that imposing drastic sanctions on the SWIFT system, we may actually hurt innocent people and including businesses that had nothing to do with the war. So I suspect that making a transition of this form could be very drastic and damaging to a lot of innocent people, right?
And that said, I just want to kind of rewind a little bit as well in terms of some of the measures and moves that are being implemented. But we've also got to talk about trade, energy, commodity, grains. All of these are imported from Ukraine and Russia to Asia. What are some of the ripples that are already being felt regionally by the current conflict as a result of the current conflict?
Right. So what we see right now is that we can think of several markets. One is that the first market that we can think of is the financial market, is that the investor actually has rushed for safe assets. And that includes hard currencies, government bonds, and precious metals. So it has pushed higher the price of oil, gold, and commodities. Mm-hmm. Ukraine is one of the biggest exports in wheat. And wheat is consumed widely in different economies. So it would have the direct effect of increasing commodity prices, but there are a lot of products that derive from oil. So I would anticipate a very severe adverse supply shock in the global economy.
Today, we had the announcement in Singapore that there'll be a block on certain Russian banks and financial transactions connected to Russia. How significant is this in a local context?
So this news is being developing right now. I actually went to check the data that we had on the bilateral trade between Russia and Singapore. So last time I checked, the bilateral trade between Singapore and Russia, it's about $2 billion. In the context of Singapore, trade is not that much, but it would be quite severe if we were to limit imposed transactions. It may not be direct. It probably could be indirect, meaning we may not trade much with Russia, but we may trade with other countries that take intermediate inputs from Russia.
So what will you be looking out for to happen next? What are you keeping an eye on in the week ahead?
There are two things. The first thing I would be looking at is how long this conflict would last. And that could impose severe uncertainty in the world. And we're coming out of this current pandemic. We're trying to come out of this pandemic. We hope that we have a fast recovery. And I think the current conflict had exacerbated and had imposed further burden in the economy if we want to have a speedy recovery. The second thing, a big concern is that the rise in commodity may have a similar effect that we observed in the 1970s. And that is, we had high inflation given the conflict in the Middle East, so that the global economy, in particular in the U.S. economy, we had a combination of high inflation and falling output. And economists coined this as a stagnation and inflation. So I'm slightly worried in the sense that investors' expectation and inflation can get out of hand if the central banks are not able to contain the expectation on inflation, and that have imposed severe economic costs to the global economy and in the region.
And inflation's already an issue that we've been grappling with, isn't it?
Certainly, yes. So that was predominantly due to fiscal policy and the monetary policy that we had during the pandemic. And then we had the supply chain disruption. And now we are adding on to this international conflict. So the situation can be quite grim if we take all into consideration.
Right. Thank you so much, Dr. Kaidar Liu, Visiting Senior Fellow, Department of Strategy and Policy, NUS Business School, for those insights into the current situation in Russia and Ukraine. We appreciate your thoughts.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.